I don't know.
People make speeches from their phones.
So, just so you know a little bit about me, my name is Jasmine. I'm 21. I'm majoring in psychology. I'm actually from Worcester, and I transferred here because I moved in with my boyfriend. And I'm of Salvadorian and Mexican descent.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, like, most of my questions are more centered around, like, you personally. So, my first one is about, like, how did you get... I might have missed it since I came in late, but, like, how did you get, like, involved in this program? Like,
Like, I'm a PhD at Northeastern, so I was in the area, and I knew about the Gaston because they had this Latino Leadership Opportunity Program. I was a participant in that. It's a national program. We still have it here at the Gaston. It's 25 years old. But it was, at the time, it was a national program in the 1980s and 90s. And when I was in college, was in that program. The idea of it was to get people that were first-generation college students to go to graduate school and become leaders, whether professors, lawyers, et cetera. And so that, when I was like at Northeastern, and I saw that UMass Boston had LLP, I mean, it said that on my site, I was like, that's where I want to work. I really want to, and I mean, I got lucky. It really is the universe alignment here. I'm a little bit spiritual too, but like, it's really hard to get a job with a PhD, and it's even harder to get it like, in the town that you get where you're at. And then, like, for me, it was like, I just got it. I got the job. Like, it was, you know, competitive and everything. So I was very, very blessed to know about the Gaston prior to my coming here. Part of it was I was, like, a hungry graduate student, you know, like, poor and starving. And they always had these monthly lunches with speaker series with all this amazing Latino food, and I was, you know, dying for that stuff. So those were like, that was it. Like, I said, this is where my community is, even though I was over there, you know, and I'd come here always for those monthly, it was like every third Wednesday lectures. When I got my PhD and I applied, I had also been teaching here part-time, so I think that got me a foot in the door as well. Yeah, I mean, I think it was meant to be. I do.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, your education might have, like, to do with this next question, but my question is, what prepared you to be in this role?
What prepared me? I think, when I was in college, I went to a called DePaul University. It's like a Boston college. It's a Catholic university. It's the largest one in Chicago, and it has, you know, it's also very highly regarded, like the way Boston College is in this town, where, you know, you do like social justice oriented work. I mean, that's the mission of BC. It's like the Jesuit theology, like liberation theology. And so I was very like grew up very Catholic and very, you know, involved in community organizing and being in student clubs and protests and all that stuff. I was very, you know, active as a college student. So I think that got me a little bit in, you know, some of the skills that I need to be passionate and an advocate. But as well, working with people that hate you and people that don't want to work with you and trying to work across differences. Like that, I also learned a lot from my anti-racism work. So that was where I went, was like, after, you know, my bachelor's is in social studies education. I'm a licensed elementary teacher. So that brought me a little bit of skill too, like just, you know, the love for youth and just working with around learning, you know, just being a teacher helped me prepare for being a professor. Most professors are just teaching their content, they don't learn how to teach or be a teacher, and mm-hmm. I feel like that has helped me in my work here, and knowing, you know, how people learn and best ways to meet students where they're at and with learning different learning strategies. And I think too that being a sociologist, you know, sociology is everything. Like, you know, it is also, you know, there's social psychology, right?
Yeah.
And then just the creativity too from sociology and the arts, and you can like really study anything with the sociological perspective. So I feel like that training really prepared me for doing like, you know, lots of different collaborations, looking at things from multidisciplinary perspectives. Yeah, and I think, you know, as well, you know, being able to speak Spanish and being bilingual, you know, that has helped me as well in doing the work that I need to do here.
Is there anything that you feel like you weren't prepared for or like could never have been prepared for?
Yeah, I mean, again, just going back to what is not really like described as like just like racism, but there's all these microaggressions and things that people question me or doubt me or have a lower expectation just because of the way I look. Like maybe I don't look like a professor to you, or I'm gonna be 50 years old. But I used to be looking very young when I started here. I've been here 20, you know, since 1998, I've been here 20 years. So imagine what I looked like back then when I'm a little girl, like, trying to, you know, say, you know, and I'm passionate and I'm vocal and loud and I, you know, I was never prepared to be a professional. You know how to use those knives. I mean, I'm from a working class, poor family. So I could never be, and to this day, I don't have a summer home anywhere. I'm not, like, out of here at the end of semester. I'm here every day working because that's my ethic. Like, so I'm still not accustomed to that entitlement and the privilege that even my Latino colleagues have. So that stuff, like, can never prepare me, like, and like they say, like you could take somebody out of the ghetto, but like you could take the ghetto out of that. Oh yeah, I'm 100% ghetto. You wouldn't know that by looking at me, right? So to me, that preparation of like the self doubt, always feeling like early on, I'm an imposter, I don't belong here. Like, oh, they're gonna figure out that I'm not really like a scholar, and that nobody will prepare you for the hits to your soul that like those microaggressions of like lower expectations. Like, why would you think I can't raise $1 million here? I fucking did it. But nobody would believe I could do that. Why? Because I can't go out and network and talk, be real with people, be authentic. That's the part where you are not allowed in these spaces to be your authentic self. You can't have emotion.
Oh my God.
No, it's true. That's just, you know, just inside of me. Like, you're supposed to be objective. And I am the last person to be objective about things. I will put it out there. Yes, I can look at multiple sides, but I'm going to give you my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that type of thing of, like, dealing with marginalization, that, oh, I wasn't invited back to that group, or I wasn't invited to that committee, probably because I spoke my mind and, you know, call people out. And also professors are very courteous and very, like, passive-aggressive. They insult you, and you don't even know you were just insulted. And that kind of thing, I don't put up with that. Like, wait, what did you just say? Did you just say that we're a community college on steroids? A professor said that about you, ma'am.
That's offensive.
So wait a minute. First, you insulted community colleges, but then to say we're on steroids is so racialized. We're a minority-serving institution. What are you saying if you call us, like, that we're on steroids over at UMass Boston? Stuff like that. So that, nothing prepares you for, like, the personalities, the privilege, the ego that people have here. Forget about it. People think they walk on water. I mean, this is being professor. You're an expert in this little thing, and that's all you know. But you're, like, the leading world expert. Great. Maybe I'm not an expert on one little thing, but I say I know a lot about all these things over here, and I'm okay with that. You know, so those types of things, you're just not, like, prepared for those blows to your spirit. And, yeah, you got to get a tough skin. my skin is, it's still not as tough as I'd like it. I want a full body armor, but sometimes it's just not happening.
I would have never thought that you were turning 50. Like,
yeah.
It's that Latino glow, you know? you already, like, explained about, like, the, like, what you want to accomplish, but I guess, you know, like, just to, like, in conclusion, you know, before we all go, like, is, like, do you want to, can you speak more on, like, what you'd like to accomplish in your role?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, well, so some of the things, like, just going back to, like, some of the projects that I'm working on, and I'm trying to write a book as well, it's, like, these theories about, like, community cultural wealth, and that we really look and see that if you are, say, a person of color or a racial or ethnic minority, that we should view that as an asset and a strength. What are they bringing that is like a value that can enrich our learning and our spaces? But what we tend to think of when we think about racial and ethnic minorities, and it's a benevolent racism, it's like, oh, they need help. They're struggling, they're gonna face barriers. But you see the narrative? By you saying they're going to face barriers, you're almost reproducing that.
Yep.
You're almost the one that is creating those barriers with that mentality and that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
If we all grew up believing in ourselves and the strengths and the assets we had and not seeing minoritized, right? So that's my mission, is for everybody to really, like, not just Latinos, because I work with all the other institutes here, like, how do we see cultural wealth as an asset and not as a barrier? When somebody speaks with an accent, how do we see that as a like brilliance, as a gift? They can speak multiple languages. Rather than, oh, this student can't write English, this paper sucks. Yeah, I mean, people say that. We don't want more Asian students. They can't write. I've got that shit.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yes. So those types of things is like, how do we then see everybody's talent, everybody, and really see the assets and meeting people where they're at rather than here's my expectation of you,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's the message. That's what I like to keep. That's why I like to keep working with teachers especially and, like, you know, and young people. Young people on the one end, like, do they really – you know, they can develop that tough skin from an early age of, like, low expectation. No, you are brilliant. You are gifted. And you are valuable, and we care about you in this community. We love you. You are not a deficit. That's the message I want to get. And that's why, like, with the Gaston, like, I want people to see us as, like, look at all these amazing, talented people here in this little part of campus. And everybody's welcome. And you know, and that's what I'm trying to do, is like build a sense of community where, you know, it's hard to do that. When people are coming and going and working three jobs and, like, where's that little space where you can just come and, like, feel like, you know, I'm important. You know, I matter. I know that sounds cheesy, but I really
believe
that.
That's not cheesy. That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really respect the work that you do. Like, I feel, like, mad inspired right now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you both. And all of you. Yeah. So know that, you know, wherever you go from here, I mean, like I said, we're actually looking for interns, and we have all kinds of interns, and not just Latinos. It would be, like, for independent study credit for 3 or 4. You'd have to get your advisor, you know, if you have an elective. And then what I would do is meet with you and see, well, here's all these different projects. Which one do you want to work on? Which professor do you want to work on? Or do you want to do your own project? You know, and we help you, you know, we give you the certification training for doing research. You know, we go through that. Or you want to work with the youth in the program. It doesn't have to just be research. Or you want to do policy. You want to go up to the State House every Wednesday and, like, go and meet with certain people, get me information. So we have internships. We also have work study, which would be paid opportunities. And then there's often projects that we're doing where we hire for that project. So, like, you know, coming up is going to be the one in Chelsea. So we really want, finding a student from Chelsea would be ideal. So think about that too, like either yourself, some of you are going to be graduating, but like think about maybe coming and doing an internship with us this semester.
Yeah.
Or taking the LLOP class that we offer in the spring. It's Anthropology 477. And, you know, it's a class that's co-taught with someone in the community. Like the students, they're this weekend, they're going overnight. You know, we do field trips. We pay for everything. So, you know, it's also the students in the class. It's not just like a regular class. Like you actually go out and you do projects. So this weekend, the students are going to Lawrence. And they're going to be, then last weekend, they went to Chelsea. They met with all these community partners, you know. So we also try to get, you know, hopefully we'll get out to Worcester at some point. So try to expand beyond just, UMass, Boston. Also want to encourage you to think about applying for the Beacon Voyages for Service program. Have you heard of that? So these are programs that we have our students during spring break week and during the summer do service trips. And I've led the trips to Mexico, Guatemala, and Puerto Rico. There's going to be one to the Dominican Republic in the summer. I encourage you to do those trips too, because the more our students, and this is, again, it's not even, Latinos are the minority on most of these projects. So it's about opening that worldview and just learning different cultures and doing specific projects. And so that could be another opportunity for us to work together is, you know, we go on a trip and get to know each other. But also just, again, the idea that you're, you know, making a difference in a community that's not your own. So those could be some things to think about staying connected with us here through Beacon Voyages of Service or LLOP or the internships.
Thank you.
That's very interesting.
All right. Well, good luck to you all. Will I be able to see something that you write? Are you going to write something or will you make a presentation?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to make a presentation.
Can you invite me to that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we can make a presentation. I don't think we have our presentation dates yet,
but okay. We
can email you and keep you updated with our presentation dates.
Please let me know. I'd love to go. Is it during this time?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm here, so this is a good time for me. Okay? All right.
Thank you for your time.